All good.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Founders Grit, sponsored by Gayper.io. I'm Zanera Baskhan, and joining me today is the co-CEO of Startup NYC and writer Nico Hodel. Welcome to the show, Nico.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
So Nico, how is Monday treating you so far?
It's off to a busy start, but no complaints. I like to keep busy. So yeah, all's well so far.
That's good, because not many people, I think majority of the people, they don't like Mondays.
But yeah, I'm a rare breed. I'm a little bit of a freak of nature. Like, I'm always looking forward to getting back to work after the weekend, especially this past weekend. It was really sunny out. So I had a lot of time at the park and a time to recuperate. And so I was ready to hit the ground running when Monday came.
Oh, that's good to know. Since it's like very chilly up there in New York,
along the lines of some of the things I'm sure we'll talk about, I'm actually working remotely from Louisiana right now. I'm based in New York City normally. Yeah, and after the coronavirus changed the face of New York City, I actually took off to Hawaii, where I grew up. I'm from Honolulu originally, and Hawaii, was very sheltered from a lot of, the more harmful effects of the coronavirus. Of course, they're affected by it, but not to the degree New York was. So I started working remotely there, and I even got my girlfriend to come out over there. And so we lived out of a really nice Airbnb by the beach for a little while. And after my girlfriend's family started to miss her, and so we kind of decided that we'd come over to Louisiana for a bit. Now we're working remotely from here. So yeah, it's great to be able to not be tethered to one location and be able to move around, when these disruptive events happen. So definitely feel very blessed to be able to do that.
True. Just one thing, stay safe, because yes, these are very critical times and we should keep like social distance,
Definitely.
Yeah,
I totally agree. We're doing everything we can to, abide by all the social distancing guidelines, and, we'd be traveling a lot more, had this coronavirus not happened. So, we're staying home a lot and, kind of keeping to ourselves way more than normal.
Good to know. Okay, Nico, yeah. Before we talk shock, I am curious to know, how did you guys come up with Writer? I mean, it's very creative.
Yeah, so Writer really was an offshoot of our parent company, Startup, which was much more of a 360-degree digital agency offering a wider range of services, everything from app and web development, which was my background originally, all the way through to, programmatic marketing and media buying for startup companies, as well as some B2B companies. And what we found is that the content marketing service that we were offering, and specifically content writing, was very scalable in the sense that we could connect with larger B2B clients that perhaps didn't have as much of a need for web and app development from an agency. Maybe they had their own developers internally, their own internal teams working on all of those different projects. And so one thing that they were more in need of was content writing, because they were hesitant to hire full-time staff writers. And then at the same time, managing freelance writers was oftentimes a headache. They'd often had bad experiences with crowdsourced platforms like Upwork and Fiverr. And so they were looking for kind of a middle ground of an agency that could offer content writing as well as editing in a way that didn't really increase their risk too much. All of our contracts are on a month-to-month basis, cancel anytime. And so it limits the risk when compared with hiring a full-time staff writer. And the service was frankly a lot more successful than we really imagined. It was something that originally we were just including in larger contracts as one small service, say in a web and app development contract or a marketing contract that we'd offer. But we decided, since it had in our eyes a lot of potential, to create its own subsidiary company and its own website, its own payment gateway, to be able to offer just that service to people that were interested in just content writing.
That's interesting. Okay, since you mentioned that you're working from home, what has your experience been with remote employment, both as doing the work remotely yourself as well as employing remote workers?
Yeah, well, I've been very lucky as a developer to, you know, be engaged in remote work for essentially the past 10 plus years. And it's something that really always made sense to me, particularly doing any kind of web marketing or development work, because the internet just enables you to communicate in so many different ways and so quickly. And I just was never that interested in that commute on the subway in New York City, you know, the hour each way, which is the average commute time in New York is an hour to work, an hour back. You're just losing so many productive hours if you add all of that up over the course of a week, a month, or a year. And so, you know, the analytical developer mindset in me just always wanted to either be working, or if I wasn't working, to be able to really recover and kind of take a mental break. And the commute is a tough go-between between, you know, both of those states. You're sort of in a work mindset, but you're not actually being, you know, productive. And so, you know, I always was trying to look for ways that I could enable that kind of lifestyle of working remotely. And, you know, I love to travel. So I wanted to be able to have that as part of my life and not just for, you know, 2 weeks of the year. I want to be able to travel when I wanted to. And so it's been an amazing ride, an amazing journey. You know, I couldn't be happier, especially now being able to work remotely, since that is very much the direction that the world seems to be headed as a whole. I'd advise anyone that's of that mindset, and particularly in the tech field, to take a look at that and take a look at, you know, whether remote work is something that's possible.
What has your takeaway been from such an experience, if at all?
Well, my take is that my productivity really thrives when I'm able to have a more independent schedule and routine. And I think it's also to do with a certain personality type. I think, you know, remote work has more benefits for some people than others. And my personality is that I love to be kind of individually focused. You know, I don't necessarily need a lot of social pressure or group dynamics to kind of act as that external motivator. I'm very internally and intrinsically motivated, and that's just something that is part of my personality that remote work allows to kind of come into full form, because, you know, I don't have to worry about office politics or, you know, like I mentioned earlier, commuting. I can just focus on being productive. And in the time that I'm not focused directly on work, I can just fully put my attention into, you know, relaxing, recovering, and kind of getting my mind ready for the next, you know, big push. And so, yeah, it's formed, you know, a really foundational view of where I think we're headed at in terms of the future. And I think, you know, just given my experience and my team's experience, being able to be more productive when working remotely, it tells me a lot about, you know, the potential for where we're headed, especially for people in certain fields and with like a certain personality type. I think it really, you know, has amazing results.
Well, I totally agree with you. It, like, remote work really does save you a lot of time. You know, you get to enjoy, you get to travel, as well as you get to, like, save a lot of time. That's a very good answer. So what do you think is the future of remote employment? What do you think needs to be done differently to make it even better and more effective?
I think certainly streamlining communication is a really important part of making sure that we continue to see those increased rates of productivity as we move into a remote future. I think that certain project management tools can play a really big role in that. You know, we make use all the time of tools like Google Docs, which are very simple, and also, you know, more sophisticated tools like Asana and other project management softwares that allow us to communicate in real time. We're big fans of Slack. So I think, you know, those tools have come a long way, and, you know, I've been kind of using those kinds of tools for many years, just as a result of, doing development work. So, you know, even project management tools like Pivotal Tracker for software development, I'm a big believer in. I think as those tools develop further, we'll be able to really streamline our communications such that we can collaborate more efficiently, even if we're not in the same physical space. And I think that's a really important key, is to actually integrate a lot of those newer tools. And I think certain larger corporations that are just getting used to working remotely now could definitely benefit from integrating some of those strategies, because sometimes you know, that lag in communication can really have a detrimental effect on a firm's productivity. Can really slow things down when you're waiting for email responses and trying to schedule calls and having that back and forth. So I think that's one of the main downsides that we need to kind of minimize in terms of remote work.
Since I already know the story behind your setup, as you mentioned earlier, I would really like to know how the journey for you has been. Like, how was your experience, and did you experience any ups and downs? Like, I feel like every business has its ups and downs. I would like to know how your journey was.
Yeah, we had a lot of ups and downs when we first began work on Started Up, because really we, you know, started building the business just based off of a real passion for trying to support innovation. Both my co-founder and I, you know, we come from a computer science and later a marketing background, sort of the intersection of those two fields. And so what we were really passionate about was finding companies with innovative ideas and trying to help them get the word out and grow and create those disruptive effects on industries that we saw as oftentimes very stagnant and stodgy. We really wanted to kind of put those innovative ideas front and center into culture and into the New York City startup ecosystem in particular. And, you know, it was very challenging because so many of these startups just didn't simply have the resources to get their ideas off the ground. And we weren't a firm that from the beginning wanted to invest in startups. That was never really our aim. We wanted to act as an agency that could provide a lot of services that they needed on the fly. And when you're dealing with clients that have oftentimes a very talented founding team, an amazing idea, but sometimes very low budgets, it makes your life hard as an agency. And so, you know, that was a big source of a struggle for us at the beginning, was wanting to support so many of these startups, but then also having to have the numbers add up in terms of, you know, our internal goals as an agency. And so, you know, we had to come up with creative ways where we could, you know, find solutions to that issue. And oftentimes, you know, some of our larger clients and our B2B clients would provide us, you know, the cash flow that we needed in order to make sense as an agency and to, you know, remain profitable as an agency while still supporting, you know, smaller companies and startups with some of the innovative ideas that maybe weren't seeing the immediate returns and maybe were struggling for investment. Particularly as a result of this virus as well. And so that's one of the ways that we kind of diversified our portfolio of clients so that we could continue doing the work we're really passionate about while still you know, having the numbers add up for us as an agency.
In the current situation, due to the ongoing pandemic, many companies have been forced to go remote, even educational institutions. And in a situation such as this, what are the major roadblocks and challenges?
Yeah, I think online learning in general is an amazing thing. And, you know, I learned how to program and a lot of technical skills primarily through remote learning. And this is years and years back. So I'm a big believer in remote learning in general, but I do think that there are a lot of challenges associated with it, and it's not an easy transition for students to make. Along the same lines of what I mentioned earlier, I think what enables you to make that transition is really utilizing the right sorts of tools. So I think ed tech is a space that will continue to become more and more important because it just allows students to have access to tools that really make learning interactive and immersive, even if you're not in a classroom. And I think in the future, it could even be possible to make learning much more immersive and much more interactive than it ever could be in a classroom, which might seem a little counterintuitive, but I think through the gamification of learning and through a lot of tools that really make it impossible not to want to learn, really give students the motivation and spark their curiosity in a way that, you know, sitting in a classroom it sometimes doesn't do. I think, you know, we can get there. I think we can get to a point where students are more motivated than ever to learn, even if they're at home, if we develop the right tools and technologies to allow that to happen. And I'm a big fan of a lot of the work that many organizations are already doing on that front. There's a company called edX.org, which is a nonprofit that offers digital learning and courses from some of the most prestigious universities in the country, including Harvard, MIT, Stanford, Princeton. So I think as those, you know, resources become more available and also more interactive and appealing to students and more gamified, we could very well end up in a world where students are learning both remotely and in the classroom and as motivated to learn as they would be to play, you know, their favorite video game. I think, you know, we can get there, and it's not an easy journey, but we really need to strive for that kind of outcome if we want, you know, as skilled a workforce as we can have.
Lastly, there are companies like Gaper that help develop, build, and scale products, especially for startups. How important do you think such setups are in the startup world and for founders looking to quickly hire smart?
Yeah, I would say they're extremely crucial. And, you know, that comes from my experience working with startup, because so often startups that are just looking to get off the ground and are between funding cycles and having to manage a lot of different elements of their growth, juggling a lot of different balls in the air when it comes to recruiting, managing their investors' interests, as well as their development team and the software needs that they have. It can be very overwhelming for founders to deal with all of that. And having a scalable solution is really key. That really allows startups to grow in a dynamic and flexible way, which is really the key, and also to limit their costs. You know, that's also a huge goal for many startups, because investors want to be able to have the proof of a concept that a startup can grow in a scalable and hopefully profitable way. Although, unfortunately, many startups do operate at a loss for many, many years. Really what you want is to, you know, be able to generate the sorts of profit that a agile and lean development team will be able to provide you. So I would say that, you know, moving forward, it's going to become a increasingly important part of the ecosystem to be able to have those solutions.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Nico. It was a pleasure talking to you. I would love to talk some more, but our marketing team suggests we keep it short, because due to the pandemic and COVID, everyone has been producing so much content. So we are keeping these episodes short. And the pre-COVID era, we usually had longer episodes though.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes total sense. We're also producing a lot of content ourselves, as well as a podcast that will go live in the coming months. And we're also kind of keeping things pretty short. So yeah, no worries at all. Actually gives me more time to get back to work. But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time, and thanks for having me. It was great to speak to you and your audience. I hope I provided some useful insights. So have a great rest of your day and great rest of your week.
You too, Nico. Have a great day.
Cheers.